Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Macy's has a rough morning. What does that tell us about the economy? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio, with the Marketplace Midday Update. Macy's reported earnings this morning, and they weren't pretty. The company is cutting its full-year profit and sales outlook as its shoppers just aren't shopping enough. This week, we'll also find out how good or bad sales were for JCPenney, Nordstrom, and Kohl's. Analysts are not all that optimistic. Marketplace's Adrian Hill looks at what department store numbers might tell us.
One tenet of the modern U.S. economy?
Right now, our economy is resting on consumption.
That's Bill Witte, a retired economics professor from Indiana University. So if consuming is the name of the game, what will this week's department store earnings tell us about the health of the economy?
I think it tells us more about the health of the department stores than it does about the health of the economy.
Richard Feinberg is a professor of consumer science and retailing at Purdue University.
Department stores must understand better how to compete with the Amazons and the Internet. And that's very difficult.
And it's not their only struggle. They're still closing stores and dealing with a drop in tourist spending. According to data from Thomson Reuters, department store chains are expected to post a collective 34% drop in earnings in the first quarter. But they're far from the only places we spend. And other places in the retail economy, including Amazon and Ford, are shining right now. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
We are nearing the end of this earnings season, and earnings are one of the main things investors have been trading on lately. We have Susan Schmidt with us to discuss how things are looking in the markets. She's a senior vice president at the Woodward Group. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to use the very sophisticated economic term of meh for earnings.
Meh.
Decent.
Yeah. I think they were a little bit better than meh. I will agree with you. They weren't great. So they were fair to middling. And we're just, you know, at the tail end of earnings now. So the bulk of that information has been absorbed by the market. They're already looking forward. And they paid attention to what the management teams were saying in those earnings reports. Remember that with earnings, it's not just what the company reported as earnings for the last quarter, but what the company is telling you about what's coming down the pipeline for them in the coming quarters.
Well, and what are they saying about the health of the economy and the kind of strength of the American consumer?
By and large, management teams are being very cautious on their forward outlook because no one really knows. I think we're just slowly climbing out of this recession still. We're just in that in-between zone, and the market in that zone has a hard time reacting.
What should we be looking forward to in the next couple of months?
This summer is going to be very different. So we have a big vote coming up in England, whether the UK will leave the EU or not. We have a critical Fed meeting June, July. And then we have our political backdrop that is going to take precedent and really be the center of focus all throughout the summer. And there's going to be a lot of sound bites and a lot of news headlines that are going to create some emotional reaction one way or the other. So be prepared for volatility.
Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at the Westwood Group. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm David Brancaccio. Thank you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. A lot happens while you sleep, so each morning we bring you the latest numbers on markets, money, jobs, and innovation, plus the context I think we all need to make the smartest decisions. We'd like you to help us keep our numbers strong by making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace. And this month, your gift in any amount will be automatically doubled thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate today at marketplace.org.
If you've ever gotten a care package, you're far from alone. But that box of snacks and toys and whatever else wasn't just a spontaneous thing. On this date, 70 years ago, the care package tradition began with Care USA, which started sending packages of food and supplies to World War II survivors in Europe. As of today, more than 100 million care packages have been distributed around the world. Allison Keyes reports.
Hunger was terrible.
Gunter Nitsch is 78 years old now.
Born in East Prussia, he grew up on his grandfather's farm until his family was captured by the Russian army during World War II.
There was no food, no medical care, no toilet.
By 1949, Nitsch, his mother and brother, ended up at a refugee camp in West Germany. Then, out of the blue, the family got the first of 15 care packages from the Peaches, a Mennonite Christian family from Pennsylvania.
And it was incredible for us that somebody in America who did not know us kept sending these big parcels. That was just a miracle.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to hand you this check for $1,500 for this food package.
That's President Harry Truman from May 1946, who bought 100 care packages. The parcels contained everything from rice and corned beef to blankets and coffee. CARE USA President Michelle Nunn says the packages change recipients' view of America, especially for the children.
They remember just that little sweet of chocolate or just the sense of bounty from America.
Nunn says CARE's mission has broadened since it began as what was meant to be a temporary consortium of 22 charities.
We work in 90 different countries around the world.
Nunn says CARE doesn't send packages anymore, where it used to send flour and yeast so women could bake bread.
Now we provide these support systems so that people can create their own bakeries.
CARE is working to help people in South Sudan and Asia, and also is helping refugees from the Syrian crisis. Gunter Nitsch sent a care package and letter to an 8-year-old Syrian boy named Zahair, saying he was writing,
to let you know that no matter how bad things may seem, there are good people in this world who can make everything better.
Nitsch still keeps in touch with the Peaches and says they treat his family like family. In Washington, D.C., I'm Allison Keyes for Marketplace.
We're going to stay in Europe now. German commercial energy consumers got a little money back on Sunday. It was a nice day there. And the country's solar, wind, hydro, and biomass plants were supplying so much renewable energy that power prices went negative for a little while. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.